WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our wisdom and intelligent conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We call them Wise Conversations around here. And, of course, our friends at State Fair in Catonsville. I had Evan Brown on earlier doing the El Guapo and the Beaumont thing. We're going to be over there hanging out. And our friends at Fadley's. I saw Al Roker was at Fadley's last week when he came into town for the big Sunday night. And, you know, for some people, Don Moeller, it was Sunday night football. You know, for other people, it was just the night the Emmys were on, right?
And for some people, it was both. So I'm guessing that for the Chief, Max Weiss at Baltimore Magazine, our very favorite magazine, and we're going to talk about, hey, Max, before, where it is again.
Tell Mike Teitelbaum, when you see Mike, Max, tell Mike how you and Ron both go in together and tell Mike how enthusiastic that Don, see, the way I do radio is I plug the stuff at the end sort of subtly. Don right. just runs in and says, here it is. Here it is, baby.
And
he does it in every segment, and I can't stop
here's,
it. So,
well, here's why.
He's old and he doesn't listen to me. You know this.
I love this about Don. Let's go. Leave with the good stuff.
Today with the good stuff. Now, we have the chief. We have the editor-in-chief. And I was telling Baltimore County Executive Johnny O last week, and you had this wonderful Ron Cassie, one of the best reporters in the entire world, does a whole article, and here's Johnny O. And as I'm reading it, and Nestor makes fun of my little tabs because I tab everything, and I still like it in print. This little card falls out, Max. This little card falls out in the middle, and it says, you can get 18 issues.
See, this is where you do the plug at the end. Let's do
for
the
$20. I'm doing it up front.
And then they'll want to buy the magazine because Max is brilliant.
I'm trying to figure out why when I can get 18 monthly bald issues of Baltimore Magazine, why I would go to the store and pay $4 or $5. Shouldn't people just subscribe at BaltimoreMag.net or what is it? BaltimoreMag.what?
BaltimoreMagazine.com. You've lost control of your own show.
Shouldn't they just go get a prescription too?
If you don't get a subscription, you need a prescription.
Max, here's how I'm going to help you sell magazines, okay? I'm going to say, Max, what's the best movie you saw this year, you know?
I really haven't seen that many movies.
Are you going to see the Sex and the City thing now that, you know, Willie Garson, we lost him this week?
That was so sad. Yeah. I loved Summer of Soul, the documentary about the Harlem Music Festival that was sort of happening at the same time as Woodstock. And they unearthed all of this footage of this festival, and it was, you know, Stevie Wonder was playing.
I saw that.
Sly and the Family Stone. And
if I see that, I need to see it somewhere where the music can be really loud. Like, I feel like a concert, you know, like that's important to me when I'm in a theater seeing a movie concert that it has some, they have all this Dolby and all this stuff, but it never really sounds like a concert when I'm in a movie theater. It never, I did a Rush thing. I spent $13 and said, both of you, I went to the movies. You don't
oh
know
my
this.
God. That's wow. it. Drop the mic.
I went to the theater. I didn't even know where it was.
Yeah.
I bought a ticket in Towson. Don, you're going to laugh. You're going to throw me out of Baltimore County. I should have admitted this to Johnny O. I bought a ticket online to see Rush, my band Rush. They did a movie right before Neil died. They were unearthing this. It was on a Thursday. It was the night Thursday night football kicked off. So whenever the NFL, it was that night. My wife never saw Rush. My wife doesn't like Rush. My wife, I said to her, do you want to go? She's like, yeah, I'll go. And she had the greatest time, but we both agreed the music wasn't loud enough. And by the way, that's a beautiful theater they have over there. I didn't even know it was there. You may thank
Kevin Kamenetz for that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, you mean the Movie Co., the Towson Movie Co.?
The one that was
the Cinemark.
Cinemark, yes.
Fantastic.
Very nice. Like comfortable seats and like a whole different kind of experience than what I used to remember at Golden Ring Mall.
Correct.
Right. And it is great to see a concert film in a big movie theater, like a Senator movie theater. You know, the bigger, the more surround sound, the better. I have not gone back to the movies yet. I'm a little paranoid about it.
You know, you and I love it.
Yeah.
And we're just, talk about that, Max, because I just said to my wife, God, I miss going back to the movies, but I'm not quite there yet. Is that where you are?
Yes. If I could be guaranteed that when I went, it was going to be, you know, half full or less than half full, that people would be able to sort of space themselves well, I would go. And in fact, next week, I'm probably going to go see the new James Bond film because there's a critic screening and that'll be a relatively small bunch of people. But still, anytime you're – here's the thing for me.
Friend with the James Bond thing. I've always wanted to go on a movie date with you, Max. This is our chance. I would go see a James Bond flick with you.
Oh, my Lord. The world has turned upside down today.
Come on, man. I mean, Max and I roll into the cinema.
That would be two movies. That would be two movies in a decade. I mean, I'm seriously, I don't know what's up or down anymore.
How can it be that I've been to a movie theater in the last month and neither one of you have
That's
been?
That's funny.
I mean, I just went and laid low and I put one little post of Neil Peart, but like I didn't make a production about it, but it really was nice and I felt safe. My wife, I mean, we were in the back and like people were like, you know, rocking out. It was a Rush thing, you know, but it wasn't close up. It didn't feel
unsafe
to me. And there's
been no documented cases of people getting COVID from going to movie theaters. So in a way, it's just getting over a psychological hurdle. That's really what it is. I will say this for me, and this is strange because I kind of think of myself as this very independent, bordering on headstrong person. I am affected by peer pressure sometimes. Like I will walk into a room. I just went to a party recently where I was wearing my mask. And then I went inside the party and nobody was wearing a mask. And I thought I looked like a schmuck and I took off my mask, you know, and I kind of feel like until I can be sure that I can be mask free and feel comfortable, that's the hesitation, basically, you know.
Well, we are in such remarkable times and we have so much to talk about. One of the things, and we're going to do at the end of this, let's do Twitter with Max. But one of the things that I reached out to you about, who knew you had a private blog, right? I don't know. You can talk to us about the private Max blog, but I'm going to start.
Com, yes.
What's it called?
MaxTheGirl.com, of
Max
course.
MaxTheGirl.com.
It's all Max the Girl.
MaxTheGirl.
I didn't know you were a girl till I read your work for several years early on City Paper, and then I heard you on BAL, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That
happens a lot, as you can imagine.
Well, Nestor, Max the Girl channeled her inner Zager and Evans from 1969, the number one pop song for 6 weeks on the charts in the year 2125. And she decides to write a letter to the folks still around in 2121.
Yeah.
And I want to start at the end, Max, and then say to you, what inspired the letter and what are the takeaways? And here's how you end that letter to our folks in 2121. The point of the letter is this. You're no doubt technologically advanced in 2121. You're sophisticated compared to us 2021 rubes. You're progressive in your values. You've read your history, but never get comfortable. People are people, and they're easily manipulated, fearful of the others. You go on to say a few more things, and then you say, the same people who had slaves, who attended lynchings, who enforced Jim Crow laws, who voted for Trump, who denied climate change, who allowed people to buy semi-automatic guns without a permit, who refused vaccines and masks, who stormed the Capitol. They are us. They are you. They are Americans. MaxTheGirl.com. Powerful, powerful letter,
Thank
Max.
You.
What prompted it? And
I'll tell you what prompted it. First of all, that's my private blog. It only reflects my opinion. That's why I put it on a private blog. But
Your dog approves. I love that.
My dog approves. Sorry about that.
So, I think the dog said the subscription's cheaper on the car.
Cheaper.
But I think that I had been a little naive in thinking that we couldn't repeat some of the mistakes of the past. And I would see, you know, the rise of a dictator, or I would see some truly what I thought was just ugly behavior, the things that I talk about in that last paragraph. Like,
or what George Bush got off the podium in Washington 4 years ago and said, that's some weird shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He said that on day one, like literally before Sean Spicer told us how many people were there. Literally.
I mean, a lot of us, myself included, were completely shocked that Donald Trump won the presidency. I didn't think he could. I was smugly confident and I was so wrong. And I have so much to learn about the American people as a result of that. But I just think that we're seeing a repeat of some really ugly behavior, particularly racist behavior that I thought was in the past, and anti-science. You know, like, you feel like science is this progress that you just keep making. You just keep getting smarter and smarter because science teaches you more and more. But what you don't expect is people to resist the science and reject the science. And people are like that. They form conspiracy theories, they form tribes. And I guess my point is to the people 100 years from now, don't be like me. Don't think that you've evolved so far. Don't be smugly confident and or naive, however you want to put it, and think that you're not capable of making the same mistakes that we make. That's the point of the letter. Yeah.
Well, it was powerful and embedded in there.
It's a powerful conversation. I mean,
Max's stuff we should be talking about,
honestly, right?
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, I mean,
it's why.
As much as I like movies and Lamar and like all of that, like getting to the heart of it, that's why I started this, Don, sitting in the upper deck pissed when you're running Baltimore County, our mayor's going to prison. I can't, you know, little did I know there'd be a plague. You know, I shared something today. Let me get a little angry. I shared something today from Brian Karam, who's been on the program, who's the Playboy reporter that Trump was always trying to like throw out of press conferences and like all of that. It was literally a year, and it's Bruce Springsteen's birthday that we're taping, that he asked Trump if he would agree to, you know, to the result of the election, literally to accept the result of the election. And he said he wouldn't accept the result of the election. I look back a year later and I look at that and I say, that's frightening. And then to think what happened after that and January 6th and nobody's in jail, it is kind of frightening.
Yeah. Well,
if you think about it too much.
Well, what I take from Max's letter to the future, and correct me if I'm wrong, Max. Yes, I was with you in 2016. Although in the last few days, unfortunately, I did tell friends that Trump was going to win. I had this very, very sick feeling that the country was about to do something very, very shocking. One of my closest friends literally sobbing, and this is not hyperbole, on my couch when it was clear Donald Trump, sobbing uncontrollably. So it was a strange moment. But here's building on Nestor's point. Here's what I took from your letter, and see if I'm zeroing in on the right thing. Donald Trump was one thing, but now Trumpism has become the Republican playbook. When you look at the recent recall election in California, where Larry Elder and the website was already up before one vote had been cast, saying that the vote and the election had been stolen. And there are moves underway in Pennsylvania to do that. So what I hear you saying is, folks, don't think it can't happen.
This reminds me of being
on the right track.
Like, it reminds me of being on a playground with kids who cheat, right? And cheating is just, at some point you just say, I can't play with you anymore. I need to just go. If we're not going to have rules and we're not going to play fair to some degree, this is their playbook.
And that's the thing that has made the last few years so kind of destabilizing, because you keep waiting for somebody to enforce the rules. You keep waiting for justice and fairness to prevail. But what keeps happening, to my eyes, is that the cheaters keep getting away with it, you know? Correct. And if you're the kind of person, I consider myself a patriot. I love my country. I believe in my country. But it's been difficult to feel that way. I mean, look, America, the democracy, it bent, it didn't break. There were people who held up democracy, but it's still, it's absolutely insane to me that Trump.
Yeah, the president of the United States on the phone with with Georgia telling them to turn the election. Well, like, right. He should be in prison. It's
and
simple.
He's the front runner for the next election. And that's what's so mind-boggling.
And could win. And Max, none of us will make the mistake again. He absolutely could win, particularly with the voter suppression activity. But your point and Nestor's point about how the game is played, and Nestor, I love the playground analogy, because just recently, shortly before we recorded this, it was announced again that the United States Senate couldn't even agree on the low-hanging fruit of police reform. Now, think about this for a minute. The FOP signed on to the proposal put forth by Karen Bass and Cory Booker and other Democrats. The FOP supported it. And at the end, African-American Republican Senator Tim Scott walked away from the deal and put out a press release that said it fell apart because Democrats continue to want to defund the police, despite the fact that in the agreement were hundreds of millions of dollars to help train police. And I saw Cory Booker and Max Reactus being interviewed, and he took the total high road, how Tim Scott's a good friend of his, and we need to get through. And my wife said, that's our problem. We continue to try to think we can reason with them. And my comment is sometimes we need to smack them in the face, and we never do. Am I wrong, Max?
I think that one of the problems is that they all do work together and they eat lunch in the congressional cafeteria together.
Well, I hear the crab cakes are delightful, according to Donna Edwards, by the way.
I doubt that, actually. But and you know, they, oh, here's a picture of my grandchild. And they have these personal relationships. So we, on the outside, we can see all of the sort of nefarious behavior. But sometimes you can get a little too close. And you think that you actually have the kind of relationship with this person where you can persuade them. And it's true. The Democrats have been fooled many, many times into thinking that the Republicans are good faith actors.
When the crazy lady in Maine is the one that, you know, she's the one that always the poster child for believing the unbelievable and the magical theories, right?
Well, let's talk about our friend Susan Collins, who I'm sure will make all Max's hair explode.
Well, one mansion, again, you know, the piece, cinema, these people are that are in the middle of all of this, right?
Let's talk about our friend Susan Collins, because once again, Miss Pro-Choice Republican is coming out and saying that she can't support real legislation that will make sure that Roe v. Wade is codified across it. Max, talk about anytime we get a female guest on, I like Nestor and me to shut up, which is hard for us to do, and let the female guest talk about that day when Texas did what it did and the Supreme Court took a pass. Talk about it not only as a journalist, but as a woman.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we got these more right-wing judges, the writing was on the wall. I mean, the end goal is to overturn Roe v. Wade. And that goes back to my letter to 2121. Like, in my mind, for most of my life, Roe v. Wade was a done deal. We had had that conversation. It was over. It was law. Now, here we are. And it's actually in jeopardy. And that is stunning to me, because we've proven again and again and again that it's a matter of a woman's personal health. It's a choice between the woman and her doctor. It's her choice alone. There's many reasons, safety reasons, Maybe it's the wrong time in her life. Maybe she, her partner is abusive. Maybe she was raped, or maybe she just wants to go to college or wants to take that good job. And a child should be brought into this world when the child is wanted. And if your answer to that is, oh, just put the child up for adoption, I always say, imagine if men got pregnant. Like, imagine if Tom Brady, right before the big game, was pregnant, and you said to him, yeah, put the Super Bowl aside and just give birth to that child and put that child up for adoption. It's a matter of devaluing women and their own autonomy. But also, ultimately, it's a safety thing.
Power trip.
That's the thing. It's
women. It's a power trip wrapped in oftentimes in some religious overtone, in whatever that would be, to say, right, this is what we're going to do to women. It's gross.
Right. Exactly.
It's gross. And in the modern world, it's gross.
And also, it's a lot like people who are preaching abstinence. People are going to have sex. So the best thing that you can do is teach them sex education. Women are going to have abortions. So the best thing that you can do is make them safe and accessible, because otherwise you're talking about women risking their lives for very dangerous procedures. That ship has sailed, you know?
Well, Max, we had serious, it goes back to your letter. We have serious people. The governor of Texas, yeah, Greg Abbott, testifies that it really, the rape and incest thing really shouldn't be a concern to anyone, because in Texas, they've decided how to approach this, and they're simply going to get rid of rape. Now, people took that man seriously. We're just going to that. Women across the world must have breathed a sigh of relief, right?
Wonders, like, we're not serious people over here. You know what I mean? Like, when we have this kind of leadership saying this kind of nonsense, we're not serious people.
No, I mean, it's just absurd. And nobody really believes him, and he doesn't believe himself.
You didn't feel better when he said they were just
right? Oh, okay.
You didn't want to just rush down and live in. Listen, we're with Max Weiss, editor-in-chief, Baltimore Magazine. We're all this serious stuff. Let's have some fun. Now, okay. You know, I love your, I tell everybody, I look for two things in Twitter feeds. I like, yes, people who can make me laugh.
Yes.
And I like people who are provocative and say smart things. Your Max the Girl Twitter feed fills both bills. And I texted you right away when you got me out of my chair, because you went after my guy. You went after Ted Lasso. I'm like, what in the world has happened to, who in the hell doesn't love Ted Lasso? And evidently,
can I interject that I'm one of the people, and I'm sure there are other people in the audience who have not watched Ted Lasso, but yeah, I know I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not current with it. You know, it's only second season, right? So, like, I have some time with this. This is going to go for a little while. Like The Sopranos, I didn't get in the beginning, but I felt like it was going to bring me in. So, Max, bring me in a little bit on it, because, like, I am willing. Unlike some things, I won't watch certain movies or do certain things. This is something I plan to do. It's on my list, Ted Lasso.
People love this show, and I don't want to take away from those who love it. God bless them, enjoy it. But not everything, yes, Don loves it, but not everything is for everybody. I watched only one episode, so granted, I didn't give it a fair shake, but I found it, you know what it reminded me of? Having a golden retriever just constantly licking my face. Like, I love golden retrievers. I don't want a golden retriever constantly licking my face. It just felt so kind of cutesy and happy-go-lucky. And I also kind of felt like, is he a simpleton, Ted Lasso? Like, what's his deal? He's so earnest to the point that he's almost a simpleton.
Now, wait a minute. Yes. We gave Max her chance there. Now, here's what I'm going to...
a movie reference. I'm really proud of myself.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, I am. You're crushing me today with the movie stuff. I've got to go back and rethink the entire world. But Max, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Okay. And it's hard because I've turned off shows. I will tell you one. I'm going to get sidetracked real quick, then I'll come back to Lasso. I did to a show what you did with Lasso. I turned off 3 years ago Manifest. I may have watched two episodes, and I thought, not working for me. Well, then, of course, it gets canceled. The world goes crazy. People, because they have nothing else in their lives, fight. And Manifest gets picked up for its fourth season on Netflix. And my wife and I say, you know, maybe we were wrong. Let's go back.
Right.
And sure enough, I hung in there and I enjoyed it. Here's what I would say to you about Ted Lasso.
Okay.
And it may not be two episodes. And I hate it when people say to me, you got to get to the fifth or sixth. Well, that's a lot of time to invest.
Right, but exactly.
Before long.
That's where I walk out of the movie or never walk in, dude. I got 90 minutes of a movie, and most of the time it feels wasteful. So
I understand that. But here's what I would suggest, Max, where it's going to take a turn for you that will work for you. The initial syrupy approach to Lasso certainly continues to pervade in that all of the characters, which is what I do like, are likable. But before long, and particularly in season two, you get into the many dark sides of who these people are. And you'll understand.
What do you call them when they're alerts?
When you don't want people to, what's the word, Max, in movies, when you're going to say something that gives something away?
Spoiler
alert. That's the word I was looking for. Spoiler alert. You will find out that Lasso's affability and congeniality is actually a cover for many, many more demons. So it gets much, much. But here's what I want you to react. And I'm not suggesting you did this. Here's what bugs me at times. I do get a sense that the critic class, whatever that is, okay, the critic class, they get very suspicious if something is a hit with the masses. It's almost like a, well, my gosh.
I remember when REM, this happened with REM. You remember? I mean, they jumped the shark a little bit, right?
Am I right? Am I wrong about that? That critics are skeptical?
No, you're wrong. First of all, Ted Lasso is a huge hit with the critics. It's critically acclaimed. I am an absolute outlier in terms of somebody who didn't, get into the show. But no, that's a myth. Critics don't care how popular something is.
Okay.
They just care about the quality of something. It just so happens that sometimes some less than high quality things are super popular. Now, when I review something, I always try to keep in mind like what an average fan is going to think. And I'll even say something like, if you examine this super closely the way a critic might, you're not going to like it. You're going to see holes in it. You're going to see these flaws. But if you're just going in with your popcorn looking for a good time, it certainly fits the bill. But that's not my job as a critic to say, if you're in the mood, just go with the flow. My job is to actually, break it down, explain what makes it work, what doesn't work, why, what my objection. So it's just the role of the critic in our society. This is what we're asked to do, is not just to be a fan, and of course we're fans, but to be a fan plus, a fan that's also doing a lot of examination and analysis.
See, that's like our Ravens coverage here at WNST in Baltimore.
Fan plus.
You just you need to be critical to some degree when it's warranted, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
and in fact, that's a perfect analogy because don't you hate like a play-by-play guy or a sports broadcaster who's a total homer, right? Who every call that goes against their team, the ref's an idiot, the ref's dumb, and they never give the other team any credit. Like,
so you've sat in the upper deck? You've sat in 513 before?
Oh, had one. Did we not have one?
Oh, my God.
Recent?
We had a real jackass behind. I mean,
Nestor and I are just looking at each other like, what is going
on? Don, you know the amazing part of this? Because it's been 2 years since we've been out at games and whatever, and all the years in 513 where they're always sort of screaming drunk people at various points was part of the experience, but it kind of went away a little while. My buddy Hells and I went to Fadley's to get a crab cake on Monday. Apparently Al Roker was there as well and in town. And the first thing he said to me was, I sat in the stands, man, listening to what people say, like that is, it's sports radio of idiocy and Fox News phone booth nonsense going in every direction on every play, you know,
at a lot of decibels. I mean, not just saying to the person.
And really out loud, you know, like you turn around and you're like, ooh, what else do you believe, bro?
The fans are the fans, and we love the fans, but the fans are not the same as the critics or the analysts, and we don't want them to be one and the same. And it really applies to both sports, and it applies to film criticism.
But never politics.
Let me try it. Let me try another one on you. Right. Let me try another one. And I don't know. I don't recall if you've tweeted about this yet, so I could be out on a ledge. Have you seen Only Murders in the Building?
I have.
Okay. I'm almost afraid to ask. What do you think?
I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, how can you go wrong with Steve Martin and Martin Short and a Manhattan setting? And Selena Gomez is the real revelation.
What a shocker. You know her music, I assume, Nestor?
Yeah. Yes.
And Max? Yeah. So obviously I'm an old guy. I don't.
Right.
I know she's a pop star, but what a revelation as an actress, right, Max?
She's fantastic. That's a delightful show. But
give folks who might not know, I feel like we're having this private conversation. Tell them what it's about.
Okay, so it's about a man either.
Can I ask you again, what is this called? I saw Steve Martin and Martin Short like promoting it a couple weeks ago.
Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
Okay, and it's on Hulu. And
I wouldn't even know where to begin to find a Hulu, but a Hula Hoop maybe. But go
Max,
ahead. How are you?
Just continue, Max.
Max, literally, I run a business solo that should be 10 people working for me. And at some point, I'm going to steal one of your salespeople and I'm going to get an executive assistant, you know. But at this point, they're literally, I work. That's what
you don't know what Hulu is. Max is telling our listeners what the show's all about.
They know what Hulu is. Okay, so a murder takes place in the building, although it's ruled a suicide, and you've got Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, and they're all fans of this true crime podcast. And they bond over their love of this true crime podcast, and they come together, and they decide to make their own podcast about this murder, what they think is a murder, that took place in the building. And then things are revealed along the way. And part of what makes it fun is that there's this generational thing happening where it's like, you know, you've got these two aging middle-aged guys and this young, hip, Gen Z woman, and they're working together, and it's done with affection and it's done with humor. And it's a great mystery,
right, Max? There's this great Nestor, this will give you
I like Steve Martin and Martin Short. I get a little bit too much of Martin Short. A little bit can be enough.
He's wonderful in this.
I want to go out with him for an evening.
As a failed Broadway director, but there's this great moment that captures the generational piece that Max is talking about. There, Martin and Short are trying to reach Selena Gomez, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And they say to one another, you know, I'm not sure her generation understands that these can actually be used as a phone. Well, that just to me, the way it was delivered was hysterical, because it captured everything. Like, you know, in addition to all this other stuff, you can actually call and talk to people. So terrific, terrific show. Hey, Max, before we let you out of here, you've had such great stuff. I mean, that piece that Ron did on Harbor Place, I mean, that's award-winning stuff. You know, the Johnny O piece, really insightful. What's coming up that we should be excited about?
Well, here's our cover for October, The Mighty Oyster.
And is that coming to me today? Will I get that
today? You should be getting it in the mail today.
Okay.
If you haven't, please contact our circulation office. And it's all about everything you wanted to know about the oyster but were afraid to ask. And the truth is, before the crab reigned supreme as sort of the seafood of choice in Maryland, it was the oyster that reigned supreme. And now the oyster's having a comeback. I mean, we're seeing oysters everywhere. And we talk about the different ways that you can prepare them, different restaurants, how they're doing oyster farming. And I will give you a little inside hint. If you look at the cover, it's a giant oyster, okay? And this was a hotly debated topic at the Baltimore Magazine office, because some people think oysters are ugly. I happen to think they're beautiful. I love oysters, but there is that it was a brave man who first ate an oyster.
No doubt.
And we thought, you know, is this going to turn people off? This giant picture of an oyster on the cover. And then we decided this issue is for the oyster lover, because an oyster lover is going to see that oyster and they're going to want to read everything about it. It's actually a
I want to get cocktail and a lemon right now.
That's well, what I'm looking saying, at, dude.
I'm looking at you, Nestor. And again, I haven't gotten it. It'll probably be here today. Just your interest when Max was talking, because Max, you may not know this. Nestor has become, he's worked with Marty Gary of the Chesapeake Potomac Fisheries, and he's really become sort of this student.
Well, I'm becoming an investigator on this, right? And the crab thing leads to the grass thing, which leads to the oyster thing, and how it's all a bay thing, and how it's an industry thing, and how it's an Eastern Shore thing, and how it's you know, been going on for hundreds of years. So I'm interested in that part of it. But I think it's taken me out to travel. I mean, I went fly fishing with Dan Rodericks out in Western Maryland, but I was also over in Cambridge, you know, with, you know, at J.M. Clayton watching them take the crabs off the boat. And then I was in Hooper's Island where I saw the largest in my life oyster shells in Hooper's Island that look like the sand does as you're going in and out of the tunnel, you know, before it snows here in the winter, these giant oyster shell that they're going to put out in the bay that makes the grasses grow, like all of that,
right?
That feeds the bay and the oyster recovery. So learning about that, I think that that's two summers from now when I get tired of crab cakes, I may go on a, it might do a crab soup tour, but after that, there'll be oysters. And well, I'm glad that you've at least allowed me to educate myself a little bit more because I used your crab episode, your crab crab cake thing from like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I read some of that before I did my tour. So the stuff that the work that you do, it is magazine-y. It's sort of timeless that you find it a year or two or three later, and it still makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And so Lydia Willever is sort of our correspondent for all things Bay, all things Eastern Shore. And she's the one who wrote The Mighty Oyster.
She did that.
We'd love
thing
to get,
6 months
put a
ago.
Word into her, Max. I know she's podcast shy. We would love to have her on.
Yeah, you would love to have her on. Nestor, you would love to talk to her.
We did. And we've reached out.
He is a real expert when it comes.
I'm intimidating, Don. Yeah. I'm intimidating.
Hey, real quick, back to Max's Twitter feed. Two funny ones. You made going back to Greece. You made fun of people who are picking on Evan Hansen, one of my all-time favorite Broadway shows. That the people are too old. I think your comment was.
I haven't seen Evan Hansen, but I want to.
Well,
good idea.
Max said it's like the first time ever older people, teenagers.
Right. So there's all this backlash against Evan Hansen because the lead actor, I mean, he really does look like he's 30 years old. But, you know, this is a long tradition in movies to have grown-ups playing teenagers, you know, but suddenly with social media, it's like they're discovering it for the first time.
I don't think Travolta was actually Danny Zuko's age. I don't know. Call me.
Dr. Channing was like in her 30s, for God's sake. Yeah.
She had a bun in the oven. Yeah,
finally, you did what no one ever does, Max Weiss. You took a shot at Hanks. Who takes a shot at Hanks? You said, I know I'm going out on a ledge, but Hanks's new project, Finch, looks god-awful. What in the heck is Finch, and why is it god-awful?
It's one of these things where he's acting with a dog, and you can see that there's a little bit of CGI. So it's not just an actual dog, but it's like partly like a robotic thing. And Harrison Ford did a movie like that. They did a remake of Call of the Wild, and the dog looked so fake. It just takes you out. If you can't train an actual dog, don't give me some hybrid real dog, CGI dog. It doesn't work. So look, the trailer could be misleading. I watched the trailer of this new Finch, and I thought, even Tom Hanks, who I adore.
He did turn on Hooch. It was a real dog, right?
I mean, and we're talking about a guy who made a whole film about
Turner
a volleyball.
Turner and Hooch was a real dog. That was
Turner
a real
and
dog.
Hooch was real, but Hanks made a film with a volleyball, for crying out loud, and make it work.
Right. That's he's a great actor. I love Tom Hanks.
An Hanks American did Dragon, Bosom Buddies, and Made Me Believe
there
40
go.
Years
there
ago. Max, we love you. Everybody subscribe. Max Weiss from the Baltimore Magazine, the editor in chief, even though the Ravens vanquished the Chiefs. Right?
There we go.
All right, guys.
One of the best games ever. And that flip, Lamar Jackson flip into the end zone. I mean, that's going to be a meme we're going to be seeing for years to come.
Well, you know, I got my first press pass in 20 months, and I went out after the flip. And my question to Lamar was, would he do it again? Yeah. And I think it's going to become, when he gets that opportunity, that's going to be the signature. 2-3 times a year, he'll be able to do that one.
I'm sure the trainers were not happy seeing him flip into the end zone like that.
That's my question. Nestor, you talk to folks behind the scenes out there. Do you think they – I mean, I know you got to let Lamar be Lamar. That's the thing. You know, let Lamar be Lamar. But do you think behind the scenes, picking up on Max's point, do you think they're saying to him, Lamar, if you hit wrong, that could be the end of our season? Or do they just say, it's Lamar?
I think they just let him do what he does.
Right.
I mean, I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but I don't think you're going to get that out of him. I ask him that question thinking he might say, Coach came up, you know, Coach Rome said, don't do that, you know, or whatever. Right. No, it doesn't sound like anybody came up then, because I think he would have offered that. And instead he's like, yeah, it hurt a little bit, but I'd do it again. And I'm like, okay, well then. You know, that's part of being 24, right?
There you go.
The Ravens are the NFL, not the No Fun League. And that's why we like them.
There you go.
And they were purple and they win a lot. Max Weiss from the Baltimore Magazine. I almost said City Paper. That's terrible, isn't it?
That's an old.
When did you leave the City Paper? What year was that?
I probably left City Paper in 94.
Wow.
Yeah. So. It's been a while.
That would be like saying Nestor Aparicio of the Evening Sun.
I was the principal of Catonsville High School. That's how long ago that was.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, was Johnny O in your school when you were at Sparrows Point, or am I nuts? Is that wrong generation for you?
I had moved on. When Johnny was student on the board, I was an area superintendent.
See, okay. So I knew there was – I thought there was, but I didn't bother you guys. By the way, if you missed the Johnny O piece, first off, in Baltimore Magazine, you can check that with Ron Cassie, but also with us. We did three segments with the Baltimore County Executive last week at Costas to celebrate their 50th anniversary and to have a crab cake. We are having a crab cake with our mayor, Brandon Scott, on October the 8th at Coco's. That's his choice in Lauraville. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Each and every Friday, we'll be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. And at some point, Max and Mike Teitelbaum will come out. Tell Mike I need a crab cake with him and Ron as well. Okay. We'll do all of that. I am Nestor. He is former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. Together, we get together and have these intelligent chats. We call them wise conversations. We'll be back at State Fair and Fadley's and other places coming to you soon as we unmask, vaccinate, and hopefully not hibernate. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.